Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
Now, for many weeks, we have been talking about powering your life by the grace of God. And importantly, I have to explain again, grace is not just unmerited favor, something that just brings good to you periodically. Grace is actually a very active force by which God gets great results out of the lives of people. I began to say a bit last week that anytime God wants to bless the earth, he sends somebody into it. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That is, when God wanted to affect this earth permanently, he gave them Jesus Christ. When God was going to deliver the children of Israel out of captivity, first time in Egypt, he gave them Moses. When he was going to deliver them again out of Babylon, he gave them Daniel for the spiritual side and Cyrus for the physical side. That is, anytime God wants to do something on the earth, he must give somebody. That is, people are the gift of God to the earth. And now, when God wanted to bless this generation, he sent you. He sent me. That is, there is something specific that I am supposed to do to bless my generation, and that thing can only be done by me. And there is something specific that you listening to me tonight, only you can do to bless your generation. Now, that thing is really greater than what you can imagine. It's far beyond your own natural abilities. It's not something that you are able to machinate yourself, put everything together and produce. The power, however, that will help you produce that thing is what is called the grace of God. And that's all we have been trying to study. And it's so important we understand it. Because without it, your life really won't count. You will be a 70-year-old man. You will look back and wonder really what you have spent the last 70 years doing. But if you've been walking by the grace of God or with the grace of God, you will look back and wonder, how come this was achieved in just 70 years? I hope you get my point. People will look and say that this could only have been done by four generations of people. Somebody will say, no, you are making a mistake. This guy started this thing when he was 25, and by the time he was 90, he had done all these things that you are saying could only be achieved by four generations. And we'll say that person walked by the grace of God. Paul said all his apostleship, all the results he got in life was by the grace of God. So we are still reading about Paul today. For all the millions and millions and millions and millions of Bibles that have been printed, of which half of the New Testament was written by Paul, that can help us to understand the impact of the ministry of Paul. And Paul said, it was not my struggle, it was the grace of God working with me. I believe we have understood that very strongly. So we all need the grace of God really to succeed in life. We all need the grace of God to make impacts in our generations. And we said that each person has a gift. And it's actually that thing that God will pour an extra abundant grace upon. So while you are in the little time, you exercise your gift. You make sure you use your gift to bless somebody. Without looking for money from it, you just exercise it so as to bless somebody. And when you are starting out in any endeavor in life, there are basically four ingredients that I believe that you will use to attract the flow of the grace of God in those endeavors. Now, I remember that some months ago on this broadcast, we did a series called Cooperating with the Seasons of Life's Adventures. And I mentioned then about the same four things, though I did not develop them fully. But when you use these four things, that is when you will see those seasons begin to manifest in your life. And if you did not listen to those broadcasts, I recommend that you check one of our outlets or our website. You'll be able to get copies of it. Now, those four things, I said they are prayer, prophecy, seed, and rest. We have talked about prayer, we have talked about prophecy. And last week, I began to talk about seed. We read from Psalm 126, in which the people prayed, restore our captivity, O God, as streams renew the desert. That is, our lives are like deserts. Our nations have become like a desert. And we are praying, God, restore that captivity. And God said, this is the way it will work. You have to sow in tears. What does it mean by tears? That is, you sow out of the little that you have. You sow out of your difficult times. And I explained that there are two kinds of seed. There is a spiritual seed and there is a physical seed. If we read from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, you will see that Paul explained that every money that comes into your hand is divided into different parts. He said there is seed for the sower, that's in verse 10, and there is bread for food. That is, anytime God gives you material resources, he said inside it, there is what you will eat, it's called bread for food. Bread for food is the one you use to buy yourself material things, food, pay your rent, acquire some good things of life for yourself. He said, but apart from that, there is seed for the sower. And I want you to understand something here, that he placed that seed for the sower first before he said, talked about bread for food. That is, anybody who will go far in life must remember that they must sow seeds in life. We have come to understand that a lot of the things that people are actually looking for in life, they are rewards for seeds sown. That is, a man is thinking of building a big house and driving very big cars. God said, those are good desires. I do give them to people in life, but I don't give them to small boys. Why? Because they have not contributed anything into life for which I will reward them accordingly. But that great money, great cars, great buildings, great businesses are actually things that God gives to people who have affected the lives of many people. So if anybody is dreaming of great cars, if anybody is dreaming of a private jet, if anybody is dreaming of owning for himself to live in a very big estate, I mean just his own house, they're all okay things. But God said that you shouldn't dream of getting that. You should dream of sowing seeds. That you should wake up in the morning and check the seeds that you are supposed to sow. Because it is when you have sown the proper seeds that the grace of God can actually flow and produce those things for you. Now, there's something I just want to explain quickly before I get on further into this seed matter. I talked about different ingredients for producing success in life. We talked about prayer, prophecy, seed, and then rest. Now, before we leave the matter of seed, I need to just explain this. All these things actually work hand in hand. It is not as if you will finish praying, then you go and prophesy, and then you sow your seed. Every man that wakes up in the morning commits his ways unto the Lord. Are you getting my point? Every time you meet challenges, you speak in consonance with the plan of God. You speak according to the visions of God for your life. And as you are doing these two things, you are also sowing seeds. There are things you are doing, and you have an attitude of rest in your heart. So all four things are actually working at the same time. It's not as if you say, now I have finished praying, now it's time to start prophesying. No, let me say properly, everything is used at the same time. So we are talking about seeds now. We said there is seed for the sower and there is bread for food. And I want to explain something about that seed further. I said there are two kinds of seed. There is spiritual seed and there is physical seed. Let me say this like this. Physical seed is very good and very important, but it only works when spiritual seeds are in place. Let me just explain what I mean by physical seed. Now, if you want to have a lot of money in life, you must invest money. Are you getting what I'm going to say? For example, now, if you're going to start a business, it will cost you something to invest at the beginning. Listen, and the amount of stuff you pour in shows the amount of faith you have in that business. That is, sometimes you may have to sell your car that you got while working in another place to start your own business. Listen, if grace is going to be poured upon you, you must show to God that you are serious about the endeavor. I hope you are getting what I'm going to say. Now, just to explain this further. T.D. Jakes told a story. I was listening to him. All right. Now, many of his books are bestsellers. Many of his books. They have sold millions of copies of his books. He's somebody that, I mean, if he's wealthy, he has it. Now, if you're talking about material things, now, T.D. Jakes has everything. But I was listening to his story. I want to describe how he got into publishing, because God has really blessed him extensively from his books that are sold. How did he get into publishing? He did a series of teachings called Woman Thou Art Loose. And some people came to him afterwards, and they wanted him to publish the materials. But after he finished preparing the manuscript, they kind of pulled out of the arrangement. And the only way he could get the book produced was to finance it himself. Now, get the point? It was going to cost him about $15,000 to print those books. Now, he said that was all the money he had anywhere. Put everything he had together to be $15,000. So he told the people, I am not doing. And you can imagine how a man that has a wife and has children will feel when you tell him that all your life savings, all your investments, bring it out and put it into a risky business. Do you understand? So he turned away and said he wasn't going to do. And he said as he was leaving, the Spirit of God spoke to him and said, invest in yourself. That is, let me just say this to you. It's not just a matter of investing yourself. It's the matter of a man whose harvest has come. And I'm going to get back to spiritual seed in a moment. Now, I'm talking about physical seed meanwhile. Now, so he said, he now turned to the people and said, okay, we'll do it. He brought all the money, he paid, and get my point, they gave him 5,000 copies of the book, and in 2 weeks, every copy was sold up. That is, he had gotten his money back, gotten profit on the money, and gotten royalties. He got a lot of money back for himself.
I hope you are getting what I want to say. And from there, he began to become more famous, became more popular. One day, God arranged, and then he became an international figure, always seen on TV. What am I trying to say? Listen, this is a fact about life. If he did not put that money into the publishing of that first book, the man would never have become anything. That was why we read from Psalm 126. The people were praying. They said, "Restore our captivity, O God, as streams renew the desert." And God said, "That is true. I will do that for you." He said, "But you have to sow in tears so that you can reap with joy. That yes, I know I am willing to bless you." And let me say this thing quickly now about spiritual seed. Spiritual seed is that which Jesus called treasure in heaven. Now, if you go and read Luke chapter 12, you will see there that Jesus spoke parables. And one of the parables he spoke was about a man from verse 16, a rich man whose land was very productive. And he reasoned to himself that how can I store my crops since I have so much? That I will get bigger banks. I will get bigger bank accounts, he was saying in effect. I will invest my money for myself and I will store it. And I will store it only for myself. Verse 19, he said, "I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry." Now you see that Jesus said that God called the man a fool, and that very night the man died, and God said, "Who will now eat those things that you have prepared?" What was he saying? He said, this man was storing up treasure for himself. These are the words of Jesus Christ, verse 21. He says, "So is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Are you getting the point? That is, this man has treasure on the earth. But concerning disciples, Jesus now said in verse 33, he says, "Sell your possessions and give to charity. Make yourselves money belts which do not wear out, and unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near, nor moth destroys." Now, here we have seen two kinds of treasures. Treasure in heaven and treasure on the earth. Are you getting the point? Now, this is what I'm talking about, spiritual seed versus physical seed. Physical seed gets you treasure on the earth. But spiritual seed, you use that one to buy treasure in heaven. What is spiritual seed? As you can see here, Jesus told his disciples that you need to have treasure in heaven. What does treasure in heaven, what does it do for you? Number one, from the context, we can see that treasure in heaven does two things. Number one, it preserves the life of the people that have it. And number two, it gives them treasure on the earth. Are you getting my point? When Jesus was speaking, what he was trying to explain to us is that what sustains material things are actually invisible things. That's why Solomon said, "I have seen this under the sun. The race is not to the swift, the battle is not to the strong, neither is favor to men of understanding." He said, if you look naturally speaking under the sun, it appears like time and chance happens to all men. When Paul was going to explain that in Romans chapter 9, he said, actually, what really happened is that it is of God that shows mercy. That is, a man's physical, natural abilities don't guarantee anything. I was reading a book recently, and the book is titled, "Why Smart Executives Fail." And inside the book, the author noted that the people who presided over some of the greatest business failures in the world were the best in the field. Are you getting the point? That is, there's no guarantee, all right, that the man who's naturally endued will succeed. The fact that you have a lot of money does not guarantee you success. Jesus was explaining that the most important thing that guarantees success in this context is treasure that a man has in heaven. What is treasure in heaven? It's a spiritual force that's there in heaven sustaining material things for you. Don't ever forget that the earth was made out of the things that are not visible. That if a man is going to have great treasure on the earth, it will be because he has great treasure in heaven. And even though he were to lose the treasure he has on the earth, the one he has in heaven cannot be touched. That was what Jesus meant when he said that you have an unfailing treasure in heaven where thieves don't come near, neither do moths destroy. What do we mean by moth? Moth is inflation. If you store up your money, it begins to reduce in value. So Jesus was saying that if you have treasure in heaven, what it does is that it always produces treasure on the earth. The man who has treasure in heaven will never lack material things. He may have temporary times of challenges, but the treasure he has in heaven will always come down into the earth for him. Now, but there's a second part of it I want us to note. Even though you were to have treasure in heaven, but you don't have seed, physical seed on the earth, it is not possible for you to tap into your treasure in heaven. But you must have treasure in heaven first. And Jesus said, this is how a man gets treasure in heaven. He said, sell your possessions, give to charity, make yourselves money belts. Now, what he was saying in effect is this: when a man gives, but not to his business, not to material places that he believes will return back for him, then he's buying treasure in heaven. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? That every charitable work that a man does, with that, he's acquiring treasure in heaven. Do you understand the point I'm trying to make here? That is, if a man goes to church and he supports the work of the ministry, he's acquiring treasure in heaven. If a man supports those who are in need, he's acquiring treasure in heaven. Are you getting my point? It's unfortunate. Let me just chip this one in. A lot of people who do charitable work, they do it that people might know. So when they want to go and donate, they come with TV cameras because they are looking for a vote. Do you follow what I'm going to say here? You will see front page of the newspaper, Chief ABCZ donated 60 bags of rice to this orphanage. Why is he telling us? Let me tell those of you who want to know. Jesus said, you have your reward. What is your reward? The acclaim that we give you. The clap, a standing ovation for that man. All of us will get up and clap. He said, this man has donated 50,000 naira. We get up and clap for him. That's why, look, no matter what is happening, I don't get up and donate anything publicly anymore. I don't ever forget the words of Jesus Christ. We said that, let your work be done in secret. Let the left hand not know what the right hand is doing. Are you getting my point? But it's so important we understand this, that in life, we must sow our spiritual seeds first if we expect God to pour forth grace upon our activities. Now, that one is very important, but also is physical seed. Physical seed is important. That's why I said something earlier, that for the case of T.D. Jakes that I gave as an example, it's not just a man investing in himself. It is a man whose time has come for a harvest. He could have done the same thing 5 years or 10 years before, and yet he wouldn't get the kind of results that he got. But when the time came for him to get results, he had to do that thing. That's why if you read from Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 4, God said it like this: he that watches the winds will not sow. Now look at it from a spiritual perspective. He said, he that observes the cloud will also not reap. That is, if you sow, when the time for reaping comes, you've sown your spiritual seed, it's not time to reap. You still have to do something physical, challenging the clouds to be able to bring in your harvest. Are you getting my point? So we have been talking about grace. We have been talking about using your gift faithfully. Let us assume now that you have been using your gift faithfully. When you were in university, you knew how to play instruments. Maybe you've been helping your fellowship in school or your departmental society. You were helping them because sometimes Christians think that the only thing that counts is what you do inside church. But it's not always like that. You may have helped somebody's birthday party go well because you agreed to play instruments for him. You have done a lot of good things for people while you were in school. And then you left, you got a good job, but you're working. But inside you is that thing for music. Inside you is that thing to produce sweet music to make the souls of men glad. A day will come, God will open an opportunity. But that opportunity might require that you lose a lot of money, either by direct investment or by resigning your job. Are you getting my point? Listen, at such times, I need to let you know. That's what David was saying when he said, restore our captivity, O God, as streams renew the desert. God said, you have to sow in tears. Are you getting my point? Let me give another example. I'm one of the people, there are many of us, I'm not the only one, who pray and believe very, very strongly in this country. Do you get my point? And because I believe that the country is good and great things are coming, I must put my money inside the economy of the country. In fact, the day I realized this was the first time I bought shares in any company. Because God is saying that if you pray and you don't put your seed inside it, your heart is not really in it. Somebody was explaining the other day that why a lot of politicians steal money, a lot of government officials steal money and carry it abroad, is because they believe that Nigeria is a failed state. They believe that something will go wrong one day and all of us will have to run. Are you getting my point? And so they now go and store their monies in places where they believe that they will be able to get it. But God said, if you really have that kind of idea, you should store your money in heaven. That's what he calls an unfailing treasure in heaven. Listen, let me say this to all of us listening. If you want to be safe in the day of adversity, make sure you are a generous giver. Do you understand my point? What the Bible calls unfailing treasure in heaven is the one that you have used to honor people and bless people and promote the work of God. Are you getting my point? He said that is the only thing that helps you in the day of adversity. You can store your money in Switzerland. The day you get there, the Swiss banker will deny you. You'll be surprised. Listen, it's called legislation. United Nations and Transparency International may have agreed just before you arrived that any black man that comes from a third world country with money stored in Switzerland must be returned back to a pool for third world nations. It's legislation. You can't do anything about it. I read a book the other day. The man was talking about wealth in the new millennium. And he explained something in that book. He said he watched once. Now, he was presiding over a thriving investment company. He said one day, a legislation was signed into law and all his clients lost their money. They became poor. That is the power of government. Are you getting my point? Listen, one day I was watching on TV in a particular country. I forgot which country especially, and I think it's somewhere in Asia. They had a bad economy. All right, things were really bad. Before then, government allowed people to own domiciliary accounts. You could store your money in US dollars in the country. And then when things became bad, suddenly government just gave an executive order. Every dollar stored in a dom account in this country paid the depositors in the local currency at the government rate. By that time, inflation in the market was jumping through the roof. That is, let's assume you stored $1,000 and they gave you $5,000 of their local currency. By that day, that $5,000 local currency couldn't buy $100 outside. It's called legislation. That's how moth destroys. He said, but if you don't want that to happen to you, you must have treasure in heaven. That's the point I'm making. Listen, I wrote a tract. It's titled Cheerful Giver. If you can lay your hand on a copy, please go and read it. Cheerful Giver. It will help you understand what I'm saying further. A cheerful giver has treasure in heaven. No matter what the legislation of the earth says, God will still come through with provisions for him. Are you getting my point? In fact, one thing I was recently teaching, and an understanding came to me about the widow of Zarephath, that Elijah was sent to go and take care of. The woman didn't take care of Elijah. Elijah took care of her. He lodged in her house with his anointing, and that ensured that her food never finished. My question is why? Why did God choose that woman? It was because of her lifestyle before that day. She had treasure in heaven, and it was time to bring those treasures down to the earth in the time of adversity. God had to send Elijah from a distant country. Listen, Zarephath was in Sidon, was not inside Israel. Far place from where Elijah was coming from. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? But that's just to explain the issue of treasure in heaven. So, it's only when a man has treasure in heaven that his physical treasure begins to make sense. So you see people get up and go and learn the principles of business. 10 keys of effective leaders. 25 steps to good investment. 10 ways to make it in the stock market. 5 ways to buy and sell gold and not lose money. And you know, we have all kinds of methods for business that makes money. And if we examine it, they make sense. They will have stories to tell you of those who did it and they made money. But let me warn you, most people who do those things didn't make anything. Is it that they don't work? They work. It's just that physical things are always powered by spiritual forces. Are you getting my point? That is, you are using physical methods. You want to make money, but you don't have treasure in heaven. Are you getting my point? Let me tell you how to sow spiritual seeds. Anything that you want God to do for you in life, anytime you have the opportunity to do it for somebody on a smaller measure, do it for that person. That's a spiritual seed. Do you get my point? You can be praying to God that, God, please, give me a great car. And God said, before I give you a great car, I will give you a great business first. Say, God, give me a great house. God said, before I give you a great house, I will give you a great business that will bless many people. So you are doing a small job right now. You are believing God for a great car. I'm using it as an illustration. Then one day, as you are going out, you see a young man who's about to travel. He doesn't have money. And you know this traveling will aid his life. You dip your hand in your pocket and give to that man. Listen, because he needs it, not because you want to get a car. You know, all this is selfish giving. I hate it. Are you getting my point? Now, what you have done in effect is that you have sown a spiritual seed. And the day of adversity, that seed will come back to you. Solomon said, sow your seed in the morning and at night don't withhold your hand. He said, you don't know which one will prosper. Or it's possible that as a child of God, both of them will prosper alike. What am I saying? Every opportunity to do good in life. Any man who wants to prosper in life must put his hand into it. Do you get my point? Some people are so selfish. I wonder how God managed to even keep them alive. Are you getting my point? Look, Mike Mundock said like this. He said, we are made for connections. That if you are not blessing somebody's life, you are not likely to live long. Seed, very, very important. So I was saying, you can learn on the principles of business. But listen, those who have succeeded well in life, they have understood that there's what is called, they call it luck. The other day I quoted Harrison Ford, that when a man succeeded in the film industry, he's a movie star, he said no one can rightfully take credit for anything. That in life there is grace, there is luck, there is chance. Paul said actually it is God that showed him mercy. That is, there are those who were better than him in acting, yet they did not make it. Somebody was telling me the other day about a young man he knows in Benin. He said this guy, his estimate of him, and the guy talking knows football, he plays football. He said that guy is better than Okocha. He said that guy is better than Kanu Wako. He said that young man is better than all those people. He said, but he never makes it in life. That boy is always smoking Igbo, and that will not let him do well. Now, and I thought about it. The ability to stop smoking Igbo and start doing well, is a spiritual thing. That guy, look, listen, go and ask Okocha. He will tell you he probably was not the best footballer when they were young. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is, nobody can really predict these things. That's why Solomon said the race is not to the swift. The battle is not to the strong. He said, on the natural plane, it appears like time and chance happen to all men. What I'm explaining to you today is that since Paul said it is God that shows mercy, Jesus now said that if any man wants mercy, he must show mercy. He said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Are you getting my point? So anything you want greatly in life later, if God gives you an opportunity today to do it in a small area for somebody, do it. That is, make it a lifestyle to be one constantly sowing his seeds into heaven. It is only after you have done that, that what you do on this earth, God will be able to pour grace upon it. Do you follow the point I'm making here? But having sown your spiritual seed, you must be ready to sow your physical seed. I told the story of T.D. Jakes earlier as an example. Remember, when God was ready to give the man his breakthrough, he had to sow his physical seed. That is where fear comes in. You know, I told that Satan, the only thing he does is tries to scare people. He will say, you will lose your money. You know, NEPA does not work. You know, the economy is unstable. He starts telling you stories. This is a young man, maybe a young woman, who is a very, very good tailor. He knows how to make clothes. Very good fashion designer. Somebody said, after all, you have this job in this company. They are paying you fairly well. You work just from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Is that one on security? What else are you looking for? Are you getting my point? Let me just give you a practical tip by the side. If you have a gift in life that you want to use to launch into business, you want to use to bless people in life, you want to use to increase yourself financially, if you have a gift like that, and you must take a job that gives you time for your gift. Do you understand my point? Listen, when I finished my training those days, somebody asked me whether I didn't want a job in a particular area. I said, I'm a preacher. I'm a teacher of the gospel. Whatever I do in life must give me time to teach the gospel. Are you getting my point? So that, look, I've seen people tell me, he said, I know this is what I'm supposed to be doing, but the job I am doing right now, it occupies all my time. If you are like that, let me just warn you. If you neglect your gift, the blessing of God to your generation for long enough, you won't live long ago. I'm just warning you now. The problem that Satan gives to people is that initially they think it's a blessing. Sometimes initially was a blessing. Do you follow my point? Maybe you left school. Now, these are practical issues. Maybe you left school. You have a lot of responsibility. I mean, your dad struggled, your folks struggled to help you, and you have younger ones. Are you getting my point? And then you left school, and God just said, look, let me help you solve that one immediately. It gives you a very lucrative job. But what is it? The last of your younger ones have left school now. Are you following my point? But you have not gotten comfortable, big man. God said, wait. Now is the time to start doing the thing I called you to do. He said, but now they have promoted me. Now I'm now a deputy general manager. God said, listen, before they sack you in ignominy, do you understand my point? Better use your own hand. And look, there are practical ways to do these things. You can take a lower one. It's very simple. Go to a smaller company. Apply to work for them on that same level. Though they will give you smaller pay, you work less time. You step down gradually. But because, you see, these are the seeds, actually. Sometimes seeds are not actually what you take out of your pocket and you invest. Sometimes it's a great sacrifice that you are making. But until you make that sacrifice, God is not sure that you are ready. I hope you are getting the point there. I think I'll just continue that next time.
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books and other materials, log on to kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org. or P.O. Box 2273 Enugu, Nigeria. Please join us same time next week for another refreshing time with the Word of God, and have a blessed week.